Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Vital Health Topic Call for May. This is Angelica. I'm your host, and I'm a Dr. Rita Ray's team. So sorry for our slight delay getting started. We had a little bit of technical difficulties getting into the call, but all is well now, and I'm really excited to present our speaker today. So if you could please just drop a note in the chat that you can hear me, then that would be great. I know I was doing a sound check earlier, and I don't think that anybody was hearing me. So if Marianne or Diana or anyone who's here, if you guys could let us know in the chat that you're hearing me, that would be excellent. I know that Patty, our guest, can hear me. Woohoo! Thank you. Thank you, Diana. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that, guys. I was in earlier, and I was trying to do an audio check, and clearly there was something wrong with my audio, so I apologize. All right, so in a few moments, I'm going to bring you our guest speaker. So give us just 30 seconds, and we're going to get started, okay? I'll be right back with you.
Can you see the slides right now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
Has everybody in the chat just confirm that they see our slides, just so Patty knows that everything is good to go? That would be great if you guys could drop a note in the chat. Yeah, sorry, Martha, we put everybody on the hold music because we were a little delayed getting started, so that's why you heard the music, but we are locked and loaded now, and we are just about to get going. Does everyone see these slides? Herbal healing. And just so you know, on your call page, you also have links to download a couple of things, one of which is a PDF of the slides. So if you'd like to download them and look at them on your own, you're welcome to do that. But I believe just want to make sure that you have them on your screen. Yay. Oh, Kim says, I can't see them. Diana says, seeing slides. Okay. So, Kim, if you don't see the slides, it might be the kind of call you're on. When you log into the call, there's a few different options. There's, like, broadcast and there's web call. So you may need to actually go back and click one of those versions so you can actually see the slides in the center. And you usually have to press the play button in the center so the slides start. Okay, good. Good job. Okay, Kim can see them. Woohoo! Okay, so without further ado, sorry for all the technical issues, guys. But thank you so much for your patience. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce to you our special guest today. Patty Repko is one of our functional nutrition coaches on our coaching team here at Dr. Rita Marie. She leads a group, and she is a high-level coach for our Inner Energy Recharge Inner Circle program. That's our year-long coaching program. And she has a really unique set of skills that makes her uniquely qualified to present today about herbal preparations and kind of the culinary use of healing herbs and plants. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background about Patty. Patty is a certified chef, holistic health coach, and lifestyle educator. And she understands how food impacts the body and she knows how to get to the bottom of what ails you. That sounds really juicy. So she empowers people how to use cooking and she uses her extensive culinary background to let food be the medicine. So she has spent countless hours testing recipes, learning how and why different foods can impact people in different ways. She assists clients who are struggling with chronic challenges and creating a roadmap to health, providing them with tools to make real lasting change based on their individual needs. Through these methods, she's been able to help clients reclaim their bodies, feel healthy again, so that they have the strength and energy to face each day with confidence. She believes in taking the power of health back into our own hands. I love that. I really love that. Her website is called wisdomnutrition.com. So I will let you get to know Patty a lot more later in the Q&A, but for now, I'm going to hand the mic over to Patty, and she is going to treat us to this lovely presentation about herbal healing today. So Patty, take it away.
Thank you, Angelica. I'm so excited to be here and present to everyone today. And yes, today's topic is on herbal preparations. A question, Angelica. This is not the right, we have more technical issues. This is not the right presentation.
Okay. Are you seeing an old presentation? Is that?
Yes.
You are? Okay. Okay, so let me take a second in here and go back to our slides. Okay, I see. So I think here I might have the one that says new. So let me take this. And
how do I get to that one?
I'll put it in for you.
Sorry, guys. Okay.
Yeah, there were two different copies, so it looks like we need to get the new copy. Okay, let me see here. Let me go back to the call. And
this is a very short version. It doesn't have all the exciting slides that I put in there.
Yeah. Just a moment. Okay. So let me get back to...
And while we're looking at getting the new slides in there, I'll just start talking a little bit about what we're reviewing today. So the talk is on our herbs and spices and their jewels of the plant kingdom. Oh, there we go. You got it.
Thank you. Okay.
All right, we got it. Okay, again, so I'm really excited to talk to everybody today about the herbs and spices. And it's really exciting because my background in culinary arts has really helped me with the nutritional piece and helping clients to achieve their success through nutrition so I can marry the two together. So today we're going to talk about herbs and spices, and they're really jewels of the plant kingdom. I want to do an overview of how to use them and how they can impact your health. We'll look at a little bit of the phytonutrients and antioxidants from these. I want to review adaptogens. And then we're going to go through healing plants and how they support numerous bodily systems. I included some information on fungi, too, as well, mushrooms, because they have so many medicinal properties, I thought it was appropriate. And we'll do culinary creations, and we'll look at some methods of preparation, infusions, decoctions, and tinctures. I have an apple cider vinegar tonic that I want to review, and some recipes, and then I want to share with you my shopping resources and references. So just a little overview. So to start with, we have herbs and spices, and the nutritional benefits and flavors they provide make it well worth learning how to use them and understanding how they can impact your health. Did you know in past history that wars were fought over them, kingdoms lost, and even new lands discovered? As a matter of fact, they were more precious than gold. But even before they were highly prized on the market for their culinary uses, they were used as medicine in indigenous cultures. They can be used to treat anything from acne, colds and flu, detox, digestive ailments, enhance energy, reduce sleep, and there's so many more uses for these. And I recommend the best way to begin building your natural medicine cabinet is by focusing on what ails you, and then research those specific herbs and spices that are for those conditions. And you can also look at what flavors and tastes you prefer, and then look into buying a couple of books and looking at the online resources available to you. And in this presentation at the end, I've provided some of my favorite resources. So let's, jewels of the plant kingdom, I like to call these because of their ability to bestow health and promote healing. They are a nutritional powerhouse loaded with antioxidants, phytonutrients, and minerals. Phytonutrients are chemicals produced by plants. Foods with phytonutrients have antioxidant and anti-inflammatory benefits, and the herbs can also have a physiological effect on our bodily systems, including digestion, hormones, stress, sleep, and many others. So when using herbs and spices, it is helpful to understand the difference between the two. An herb is a whole part of the plant, And this is usually the softer stems or leaves of plants and can be whole, ground, fresh, or dried. And then a spice is a substance that is derived from a dried plant and is usually a seed, a bark, or root part and is normally ground and powdered, although in some cases they may be a whole seed. Both of these are used to flavor food as well as for medicinal purposes. And then we also have alliums, which are members of the onion family, things garlic, onion, chives, and leeks. And then we have rhizomes, which are turmeric and ginger, which are a subterranean plant stem that sends out roots and shoots from its nodes. So those are your categories. And And so here is an example of some of the powerful antioxidants that herbs and spices can provide if included in your diet. We have anthocyanins and flavanols and isoflavones, resveratrol, curcumin, gingerol, sulforaphane, lycopene, capsaicin, and so many more. All of these are powerful protectors that help to disarm free radical damage to our cells produced from oxidation from our daily lives. One category of herbs that I like to mention and pay particular attention to is the adaptogenic herbs, things like ashwagandha, holy basil, and maca. An adaptogen is a botanical that greatly improves your body's ability to adapt to stress. They are a homeostasis invoking and normalizing influence on the body. They support energy, brain, hormones, and immune system. And you will see many of these included throughout this presentation. So how do herbs and spices support our bodily systems? We're going to look at herbs and spices that can control inflammation, heal digestion, reduce colds and flu, lessen allergies, combat microbes, reduce stress and improve sleep, increase energy, control blood sugar, and help detoxify our bodies. So let's start with inflammation. Inflammation is your body's protective response to injury or damage. It helps your natural healing and repair process. A problem starts when your body is chronically inflamed. Many modern stressors, such as pollution, food sensitivities, and carrying extra weight can lead to chronic inflammation. Chronic inflammation has been linked to a wide variety of diseases. These anti-inflammatory herbs help to modulate the immune response. We have boswellia, capsaicin, turmeric, and white willow bark have been shown to reduce inflammation in the body. Turmeric, the compound curcumin in turmeric, has been particularly helpful in reducing symptoms of inflammatory bowel disease, rheumatoid arthritis, and Alzheimer's disease. Studies have shown curcumin, the active compound in turmeric, also stops the accumulation of plaque in the brain. For inflammatory skin conditions, calendula for dermatitis and wound healing. Studies have shown it is effective in helping wounds heal over with new tissue. And then we also have comfrey, which contains a substance called allantoin and rosmarinic acid to soothe painful joints, and it heals damaged tissue. Comfrey, however, is toxic, and if taken internally, it should only be used topically, not taken internally. And then I also have a list of popular household herbs and spices that you can use every day to reduce and prevent inflammatory conditions. You know, we have cloves and purslane and garlic and ginger and basil and rosemary and parsley and cinnamon. So a lot of those most people have on hand in their kitchen if you're cooking. So use those in everything that you're cooking. And then next we have digestion. We have several different categories with digestion. A carminative is an herb that reduces gas and bloating, enhances digestion, and tones the digestive tract. We have anise and caraway and cardamom and mint. And there's a whole bunch of those, fennel, chamomile, oregano. So those are all carminative. Then we have demulcent, which soothes and heals the GI tract and rebuilds the mucus layer and lubricates the digestive tract. And those are herbs, mucilaginous herbs. So those are things like marshmallow and calendula and slippery elm, licorice and Irish moss and fenugreek. And then we have ecologon, which stimulates the flow of bile from the liver and stimulates bile secretions from the gallbladder. And those are things like dandelion root and rosemary and sage and yellow dock. And then we have bitters, which stimulate digestion and hydrochloric acid and mucus in the upper GI tract. They can also stimulate bile and pancreatic enzymes. And those are bitter herbs when you chew on them or taste them, things like dandelion and chicory and licorice and milk thistle. And then we have antispasmodic herbs, which decrease cramping, and those are chamomile, ginger, peppermint, and valerian. So that's your digestion. And our next category is colds and flu. So to combat colds and flus, we have antimicrobial herbs such as garlic, rosemary, ginger, fennel, and oregano. Compounds from these herbs have been shown to possess antimicrobial properties against a range of harmful microorganisms. And we also have, for help with respiratory symptoms, we have herbs such as marshmallow, slipper elm, yarrow, and fennel, and they have been shown to reduce cough and mucus. Then we have eucalyptus, may reduce the cough frequency and nasal congestion. The essential oil can be used for topical use and for inhalation to help clear nasal congestion. And then we have, for immune support, we have herbs such as echinacea, astragalus, and elderberry, and it can help to support and strengthen the body's natural immune response. Next, we have allergies. Several things that can help if you're experiencing allergy symptoms. Butterbur is one that may relieve hay fever. We have stinging nettle, and studies have shown this inhibits the inflammatory response. And then devil's claw is another one that's anti-inflammatory. Eucalyptus, again, we just spoke about, relieves congestion. Then we have rosemary and sage, which have been shown to improve seasonal allergy symptoms, and the rosmanic acid in the rosemary is shown to be very beneficial. We have quercetin, which is in onions and garlic, and that helps to block the release of histamines, and histamines are released, and that's what gives you that allergic reaction. And then we have turmeric, which controls the inflammatory process as well. Then next we have the antimicrobials, and we talked a little bit about some of these before, but these have been shown to help kill pathogenic microorganisms, and things like fennel, garlic, golden seal, oregano, rosemary, thyme, and turmeric. One of the things, especially with all this that's been going on recently, what I've been doing is I make a mixture of, I take fresh rosemary, garlic, thyme, and oregano, and I chopped all that up with a pinch of crushed red pepper, a little bit of salt and black pepper, and I mix it together with some olive oil to just cover the herbs, and I keep that in the refrigerator, and I pretty much eat it on everything just to make sure I'm keeping the microbes at bay. And then next we have stress, the big one, and then sleep. And I actually put these two together because many of the herbs that calm us also help with sleep. So many of these herbs help modulate sleep and stress or adaptogens. We have things like kava, which this is known to relieve tension. And we have lemon balm, which soothes anxiety. Rhodiola, which relieves fatigue, exhaustion, and anxiety. We have skullcap, which is used to treat insomnia and nervousness. Ashwagandha, which is one of my favorite, and that reduces anxiety and stress. It might help fight depression and has been shown to improve energy. And then some herbs used to promote restful sleep are lavender, chamomile, and magnolia bark, and passion flower. And then we also have valerian, which eases anxious feelings and promotes sleep. And then we have, next we have energy. And these herbs are considered adaptogens as well. Ashwagandha, like I said, is my favorite, and it's commonly known as Indian winter cherry, and it may have a calming effect on anxiety. It may also help to reduce the effects of mental, emotional, and physical stress. Then we have maca, may boost energy, endurance, and improve mood. We have rhodiola, that's used for increasing energy, stamina, strength, and mental capacity. Then we have Siberian ginseng, and it's been used traditionally as an adaptogen, a performance enhancer, and an immunostimulant. We also have cordyceps, and I included this here, but it's actually a fungus that lives on certain caterpillars, and it has been used to increase strength and exercise performance as well as for rejuvenation after an injury. And that's our energy. And then next we have our herbs for blood sugar balance. So we have two categories here. One is to improve insulin sensitivity, and we have herbs like cinnamon, cardamom, cumin, ginger, reishi, turmeric, ginseng, fenugreek, and basil. Those will all help to improve the insulin sensitivity. And then we also have the herbs that help to lower your blood glucose. And those are herbs like berberine, olive leaf, ginseng, and Gyma sylvestre. And then we have, last but not least, we have our herbs for detox. Now, milk thistle is the active ingredient, and the active ingredient in milk thistle is called Silymarin, and it helps to support the liver's detox pathways. Then we have dandelion root, and this helps the liver to flush out toxins and may promote healing. We have cilantro, which has significant chelating properties, which bind to heavy metals and helps us to excrete the heavy metals out of your body. We have stinging nettles, which helps to gently stimulate the lymphatic system, seems to enhance the excretion of waste through the kidneys. And then we have red clover, turmeric, burdock, and coriander, and these have also been used and shown to help in eliminating waste and detoxifying the body. And then next we have, like I said, I included the mushrooms because of their medicinal properties, and I thought it was a good thing to review as we were going through the herbs. And we have reishi, which contain polysaccharides and terpenes, and they have been shown to decrease excess fat storage and lower blood sugar. We have chaga, which are antioxidant powerhouse and a scavenger of free radicals. And this one's been particularly helpful in showing to be a cancer killer. And we also have shiitake, which fights cancer. And it's actually, in studies, have been shown to shrink tumors, also to improve heart disease and lower cholesterol. And more on the mushrooms. Lion's mane has been shown to be neuroprotective. It may have the ability to regenerate some and protect brain tissue. And then turkey tail has been shown to help improve the immune system in women with breast cancer, and it's significantly enhanced immune system in cancer patients. And then cordyceps is the one I was talking about earlier. That is actually a fungus that grows on caterpillars, and this one has been shown to increase energy and endurance. But it also has been shown to increase antioxidants, the superoxide dismutase and glutathione peroxidase. So those are the mushrooms. So next we have, excuse me. So now that we've done all that, let's look at some of the fun part. We have the herbs and culinary preparation. And my favorite topic is the culinary. You know, we all love to eat. So my love for food is what drove me to be an executive chef. And now I'm happy to use that knowledge to teach people about the healing aspects as well. So we have the herbs help to brighten, bring brightness and flavor to your kitchen. They can impart flavor. So you have your salty, your sweet, your sour, your tangy, your floral, your pungent, and your bitter. So I was saying earlier, look into what flavors that you enjoy, and then you can look at the herbs that you want to include in your pantry and in your meals and everything that you're cooking. Include these, like I said, in all of your recipes. One thing when you're cooking with your herbs, a basic rule to remember is you want to add fresh herbs at the end of cooking, because the flavor from the herbs will dissipate very quickly, and then dried herbs you want to add at the start of cooking. So a few quick tips on buying and storing herbs. Leafy herbs such as basil, cilantro, parsley, tarragon, chives, dill, and mint. You want to look for perky bunches, avoid any brown, bruised, or yellow leaves. When it comes to basil, get the most out of it by buying a bunch that still has the roots attached. And then to store it, for basil, trim the basil roots a little bit and put them in a glass of water. And you can cover it loosely with a plastic bag and store it at room temperature, and it's an instant greenhouse. It'll last for at least a week on the counter that way. And then for all your others, your cilantro, parsley, mint, you want to make sure that you remove the rubber band that's holding the bunch together, because the rubber band will cause the stems to break down and leads to quicker decay. And then from there, wrap loosely in a damp paper towel and then store in the refrigerator in a resealable bag. And they should stay fresh for up to a week that way. And then your woody herbs are things like rosemary, thyme, oregano, sage, and lavender. You want to look for healthy-looking sprigs with leaves firmly attached and avoid bunches that are black and moldy. And for these, you can store woody herbs the last a couple of weeks stored in a damp paper towel in a resealable plastic bag. And then we have our spices. So for spices, most of the flavor and aroma of the spices comes from oils, and these oils are quite volatile. So you have to keep your spices fresh to keep these oils locked in. Some rules that I like to go by, buy them in small quantities and only what you're going to use in a short period of time. You know, probably you want to keep them around for 6 months, any longer than that, and they start to deteriorate. Store them out of direct sunlight and in a cool, dry part of the kitchen. Heat and light will break down the oils and degrade the antioxidants. The easiest way to tell if a spice is still potent is to take a sniff, but be careful. You don't want to inhale them because you could be choking, especially things like capsaicin and the stronger spices. And some advice, one thing I like to do is I store them in alphabetical order, and that's why it makes it easy to see what I have. And one of the best ways to buy spices is to get them whole and then grind them as needed if you have a spice grinder. The flavor and aroma of the whole spices tends to be more potent and stable that way. So now let's look at some preparation methods. We have a few different methods that can be used to make water extractions of herbs, like teas, infusions, and decoctions. Those methods differ according to the part of the plant used and the length of the steeping time. Leaves, flowers, and seeds require a shorter steep, with roots and barks need a longer one. The appropriate steeping time ensures adequate extraction of the herbal constituents. So we have our hot infusion. And good, a few, they draw out vitamins, enzymes, and aromatic volatile oils. And a few good herbs for a hot infusion are things like chamomile, calendula, holy basil, passionflower, nettle, and peppermint all work well for hot and cold infusions. And then you have cold infusions. So cold infusions work well with mucilaginous plants. Mucilaginous herbs are a jelly, they're a plant-based jelly-like substance, and it's responsible for storing water in plants, making them drought resistant. We saw some of these herbs earlier when we were talking about digestion and the herbs, but things like marshmallow root, the slippery elm, chia seeds, and seaweed would all be in this category. And for centuries, these kind of herbs have been used for illnesses and injury. Some of the most popular ones were for including treating burns, wounds, ulcers, and external and internal inflammation, irritation, diarrhea, and constipation. So here's another herb on just infusions and decoctions, another slide. So that we were talking about the simmered teas, the roots, berries, bark, seeds, and again, mushrooms is another one that goes well with that. And ideal herbs that are good for these decoctions would be ginger, burdock, ashwagandha, astragalus, elderberry, cinnamon, dandelion, milk thistle, and turmeric. So let's look at how to make these infusions and hot and cold and decoctions. So for hot infusions, they're very easy. You would scoop 1 to 3 tablespoons of a dried herb into a strainer, heat 1 cup of water until it boils, place your strainer in your cup, put hot water over the herbs, and cover to keep the essential oils from escaping. Steep for 15 minutes to 1 hour, then strain and enjoy. And I also sometimes just drop the herbs in the cup with hot water and then strain through a fine mesh strainer once they've steeped. So you can do that either way. Basically, you know, if you make tea from fresh herbs, that's basically what you're doing here. And then you have your cold infusions. Just a little bit different. So for this, you would fill a quart jar with cold water, then bundle 1 ounce of the herbs in cheesecloth and add the bundle just below the water in the jar. Drape the tight end over the lip of the jar and secure by loosely screwing on the jar's lid. Allow to infuse overnight and then remove the bundle and enjoy. You can also lay cheesecloth over the top of the jar and attach with the rubber band and infuse overnight and strain. So you can do that either way. And then we have our decoctions. So for this, you would place 3 tablespoons of a dried herb into a small saucepan, cover the herb with a quart of cold water, and slowly heat the water and simmer covered for 20 to 45 minutes. Strain and reserve the tea in a jar. So again, a decoction is the one that you would use the roots and barks and harder things, so that takes a little bit longer cooking. We have our herbal infused vinegars, which are tinctures. So I like to use vinegars because they're alcohol-free tinctures, and you can, these are a really great way to have these on hand to use in culinary preparation and also to use for medicinal purposes. Vinegar has been used for thousands of years to preserve food, deodorize, and to make traditional formulas. Dried herbs tend to produce the most effective vinegar extracts, but fresh herbs can be used to make culinary recipes. And the vinegar will help to extract the minerals as well as the flavors of the herbs. And to prepare, you would chop or grind your herbs to a coarse powder. Fill a quarter of your jar with the herbs and then pour organic apple cider vinegar over the herb until the jar is filled. Cover tightly and allow to extract for 14 days in a cool, dark place. Shake the jar daily. After 2 weeks, strain the herb through a cheesecloth, set the strained liquid in a capped jar, and allow the sediment to settle overnight. Decant the clear liquid into a sterilized jar using a strainer. Cap tightly and store for up to 6 months in a cool, dark place. Tip, if you're infusing the vinegar with roots or bark, once the mixture is extracted and the herbs have been strained, heat the infusion just short of boiling and filter through cloth while hot. This will keep the infusion from spoiling. So one of my favorite is an apple cider vinegar tonic. The apple cider vinegar has been revealed as a healing elixir for centuries. The apple cider vinegar is slowly fermented in tanks and handled delicately with low heat and minimum processing. This preserves the enzymes and minerals from the apples. As a result of fermentation, it contains live active cultures. It also contains valuable compounds, including the prebiotic fiber pectin that can increase the number of friendly bacteria in the digestive tract. So one of my favorites is to make this fire cider. It's a tasty combination of vinegar infused with powerful spices. And I also like to add citrus, such as lemon or lime or grapefruit, to mine sometimes. It helps with digestion, lowering inflammation, immune function, and actually some people like to bury their cider jar in the ground for a month and make it that way. But I've included a recipe in the handout for the cider vinegar, so that if you want to try to make this, you can. And then I've also included some recipes for a cucumber mint apple cider spritzer and a strawberry kiwi apple cider tonic. And then next we have our herbal infused oils. And infusing oils with herbs can transform them into healthful preparations. You can use these oils in your culinary repertoire, as well as a base for homemade massage oils, salves, lip balms, facial serums, hair treatments, body creams, soaps, and more. A variety of dried herbs and organic carrier oils can be used depending on your specific needs. Jojoba oil and olive oil are wise choices because they have a long shelf life and are suitable for a variety of topical applications. Just when preparing, if you're preparing these infusions, keep this in mind. Moisture can cause your oil to go rancid, so dry herbs are best. You want to place your herbs in a clean quart jar, pour enough oil to cover herbs by at least 1 inch, and leave at least a half inch of space at the top of the jar so the herbs will have room to expand. If your herbs soak up all of the oil, then pour more oil on top to ensure the herbs are completely covered. Stir well and cap the jar tightly. Place the jar on a warm, sunny windowsill and shake once or more every day. After 4 to 6 weeks, strain the herbs out of the oil using cheesecloth and make sure to squeeze out the herbs to get every drop of oil. Pour into glass bottles and store in a cool, dark place. the shelf life on the oil should keep for at least a year if stored properly. And you can play around with all kinds of combination of herbs to make the oils so that they're floral-scented oils, or there's, you can do oils for sleep or energy or stress relief and more. And then we have our rubs and salves. Rubs are hold on a second. Salves are very simple to prepare. They're semi-solid at room temperature, and they soften once applied to the skin. They can be crafted for a variety of topical uses. The addition of beeswax offers additional benefits, including soothing, emollient, and nourishing. To make a salve, you would use 8 ounces of an herbal-infused oil of your choice and 1 ounce of beeswax, and then you can add a drop of vitamin E oil if you like. Add 10 to 20 drops of an essential oil of your choice. Place the oil and beeswax over a double boiler and gently warm over low heat until the wax melts. Remove from heat and add the essential oil. Quickly pour into jars or tins and allow to cool completely and store in a cool location. The consistency of this can be adjusted based on how much beeswax you use. More oil will make a softer salve and more wax will make a firmer one. And rubs are very similar, and they're great to make because you can avoid buying store-bought petroleum-based products. And in here, I have included recipes in the handout for a chest rub and a bath salt blend. So this is, there's a handout that I've included with the presentation, and in the handout, I have recipes for all of these today. So we have our bars and our bites, and we have an ashwagandha chocolate bite, we have an adaptogenic energy bar, I have an herbal rub, and then I have an Italian spice blend that I use that spice blend in a lot of cooking that I do every day. And then I have quite a few beverages. I have a golden milk, of a fire cider that we went over on that one slide. I have a mushroom spice latte. I have an anti-inflammatory mushroom elixir, and then the cucumber mint spritzer and the strawberry kiwi one that I was talking about earlier. And so in summary, whew, went over a lot. So I have, we talked about herbs and spices and their support for numerous bodily systems, quickly reviewed the adaptogens and went over the mushrooms a little bit, and then talked about infusions and tinctures and oils and rubs and salves and culinary creations. And these are some of my favorite resources that I have on hand when I want to look up anything about herbs and get ideas. The Alchemy of Herbs, I have a guide to medicinal herbs, and then Healing Spices. And those are my favorite books. And here's some resources where I shop at Thrive Market, Mountain Rose Herbs, and here's a bulk herb store. And then these other resources are some guides to herbs and natural medicine that are very valuable if you want those resources. And that's it in my information.
Excellent.
There we go.
Thank you so much, Patty. That was really, really beautiful presentation. I was really drawn to some of those herbs. So it kind of made me feel like my body was calling for something. I was really drawn to some of those slides.
I just love getting in the kitchen and playing around with all this stuff. Like I was saying, just pick a few things. If you have an ailment or, you know, notice what kind of flavors you like, whether they be floral or port or astringent or things that you really like, and then just start playing around to start incorporating these into your diet.
Absolutely. Yes. So I would love to open up the floor now for questions. If any of our guests would like to ask questions, you could leave them in the chat or the Q&A box as well. You could send your questions. If you'd like to ask questions live, you just press star 2 to raise your hand on your phone. And if you're on a web call, then there should be an option to raise your hand. So feel free to let us know if you want to come and chat and ask questions live, but I would, you know, just for now, just to help everybody, I would love to ask a few questions of my own, Patty, if that's all right.
Absolutely.
Cool. So, yeah, I actually, like, love that I get to co-host this call with you, because I came from the culinary world, too, prior to becoming, you know, a nutritional endocrinology practitioner, I came from that single-celled world, lots of rich food, you know, lots of unhealthy habits in the culinary world. People work long hours and they're surrounded by alcohol and refined sugar and all those things that we know just kind of drag us down. And I'm wondering, like, after you worked in that that field, like, what was the impetus for you to, like, just kind of transition over to a more healing approach to the culinary arts?
Well, I was in the culinary field for, you know, probably 25 years or more. And I ended up getting really sick. And that's what started me looking into, I went back to Institute for Integrative Nutrition and became a health coach. And that's how I found Dr. Rita Marie and then became a nutritional endocrinology practitioner as well. But I ended up working myself to death. I burnt myself out. I mean, like you were saying, you know, the industry is very rough. The foods are very rich. There's a lot of alcohol. And then you're working crazy hours, you know, 15 hours a day nonstop. You don't take a break. And I had opened a business, a bakery, and I literally for 3 years, I worked every day for 3 years without a day off, probably 15 hours a day until the very end. It was in December, right after the holidays, that I closed the business down. I pretty much think I had a nervous breakdown after that because I just could not function anymore. I almost wound up in the hospital. And so, yeah, that's what led me to understand how to start taking care of myself and just better foods and self-care.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, so you kind of had a healing crisis in a way.
I absolutely had a crisis.
Wow. That's powerful. I could definitely relate to that. I think a lot of us that come into the functional medicine world, become practitioners, health coaches, it's usually we're sparked by some kind of healing crisis or some kind of challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that helps really deepen what we can offer to our clients. So yeah, I know but I know how hard that can be. So I'm curious, how did you start to move away from the traditional, rich, classic Western approach to culinary arts, and how did you start to incorporate more of the healing plants and herbs that you shared with us?
So I always, you know, I've always had an herb garden, and I've always dabbled with all the different herbs in culinary use. And I always, because they add so much flavor and character and layers of texture and depth to your food. So that's one of the things but I, you know, I always looked at them for the flavor, not for the nutritional value of those foods, or, you know, for the medicinal properties of those herbs. So, so when I started to learn more about healing my body is when I started to do a lot of research on the different foods and the nutrition that it provides for our bodies and what foods work well for different ailments. And that's how I just, you know, it's a slow process. I mean, I didn't wake up one day and immediately change everything overnight, right? It took time for me to start incorporating things. So step by step, I would, you know, one day I was soaking grains, and then the next day I was looking into substitutes for sugar and finding things like monk fruit and stevia and things like that that I could use, and then just starting to play around with recipes and how to make things healthier. And so over probably the last 5 years since I start, yeah, it's been what, five, no, maybe 7 years now, just little by little I started incorporating things and making changes.
Wow. Oh, you are so wise.
Thanks.
So much. Because, yeah, like, that is the way to do it, really, is to, you know, little by little to incorporate little changes. And that way you avoid overwhelm. Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Really, really cool. I'm curious, so from the herbal perspective, what was the thing that, if you could pick one plant or herb that really just was your aha, like, oh, my gosh, like, healing is possible with natural medicine, with plants. What would you say that would be? Which one?
So two things. Well, actually, yeah, no, it's a good question, because two things actually was my aha. So first thing is I did a detox, a liver detox, and I did the herbs like milk thistle and dandelion and those things, incorporated those things with the detox. And it was like, it was unbelievable how much better I felt after I did a detox and took out sugar and gluten and processed foods and all those things out of my diet. It was amazing. My energy and slept better, and I just, the things that I noticed different. So I did a 2-week detox the first time I did it. And then I went off the detox and went back to, you know, eating some other foods. But I could notice the difference just by incorporating those things into my diet on a regular basis. And then the second one is the adaptogenic herb ashwagandha is one of my favorites. I noticed a huge difference with energy and just overall, like, just well-being and support when taking that herb. So those are my two favorites, the detox stuff and then the ashwagandha.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel like you kind of hit it on the head. Like, toxins and sympathetic overload of our nervous system, probably the top two modern issues. Yeah.
Right, so absolutely.
A lot of sense that those liver detox herbs and, well, of course, removing all of the things that harm our health, like you mentioned, the gluten, sugar. Mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, the liver detox and the adaptogenic herbs were the ones that really gave you a perceivable difference. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I like ashwagandha as well. It really has helped me take the edge off of
It really does.
Yeah,
it really does. My favorite.
Do you, I'm curious, like with your clients, how do you kind of put together a custom plan? Like, how do you go about looking at a person and their constitution and their mood? And like, how do you go about like putting together a plan for them that would be healing and that you think that their physiology will respond to?
So I really, when I'm working with clients, I start with them, you know, I really try to start with the person where they're at, right? Because you don't want to overwhelm somebody and all of a sudden they have to do a million things because they're going to run away screaming. But, you know, so we really start where they're at. Some people, it's as basic as, you know, drinking water, adding greens, you know, and maybe just a little bit more movement in their day, just walking. So if they're in that position, we might start there. Or somebody else might be ready for a full-on detox and adding all these herbs, and they're ready to go 100% full-on, taking everything out of their diet. So if that's the case, then we might say, okay, let's start with the detox and go from there. So it really, really depends on the individual client. But I always work with people in baby steps. Start here, work on these few things, incorporate these, and then let's move on to the next thing so that people are not getting overwhelmed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Slow and steady wins the race. It sounds like
absolutely. And again, right. But it's very individualized. It really is. So it just depends. I mean, we have basic things that we look at. As far as there's always, you know, there's pillars of health that we look at. But some people are going to move through things much more quickly than others. So again, it just depends on where the person's at.
Yep. Absolutely. Now, one more question about coming up with healing, you know, herbal protocols for people. Is there a common thread or a really like kind of star, superstar plant or herb that you see is working for a lot of people? And what is it?
I like, again, I hate always keep going back to the detox, but most people that start doing this work need to do a detox. And the herbs that I like that I use with everybody would be milk thistle and the dandelion, definitely to start with, especially with someone that's come to me that's never done any of this healing or they're not familiar with a lot of this. Like, detox is one of the best ways to start. So I would say milk thistle, dandelion are my favorite. But then also, you know, you look at some of the household herbs, and a lot of times working with people and just starting to get them cooking, I look at, okay, what's in your pantry? And let's look at getting some of these things in your pantry, the cinnamon and, you know, coriander and cardamom and, you know, and then the fresh herbs, basil and rosemary and thyme and things like that, because those herbs themselves also have so many beneficial properties that just if you start eating them every day and incorporating them into your cooking, you're going to get the benefits from those herbs. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And honestly, I love the fact that you keep coming back to detox, because I've heard a lot of brilliant minds in our field say that, you know, nowadays you can't escape toxins. You almost can't escape toxins, even on organic food grown in the best soil. That's just the reality of our world. So really, it's all about elimination and drainage. You know, it's like, if we can't avoid the toxins, can we do to support our body in flushing them out? Yeah, so I like that. Cool.
And I still detox. You know, I mean, a lot of the foods that are detox foods and herbs, I eat on a regular basis anyway, a lot of the greens and things like that, but I still detox twice a year where I incorporate the milk thistle and dandelion and some of those other herbs, and I'll do a two-week detox, complete liver detox, just because even though I'm eating healthy, but like you said, a lot of the toxins are unavoidable these days. So it really helps to support your body to do that on, you know, a regular basis, or twice a year I do it.
Absolutely. Right. And that's not to say that we, you know, we try to, or we just, you know, welcome all the conventional produce and all the cigarette
smoking. Right.
Okay, we do that. Like, you should still limit your exposure as much as you can. But for the things that we can't really control, like, sprays from other farms getting onto the organic farm, or, you know, like just things in the soil, things in our water, things that we can't really avoid. Yeah, I think periodic detoxing is vital, and I don't really believe in the myth anymore that our bodies can naturally detox quickly enough. I feel as though we do need a little bit more help from our friends, the plants, more than we
absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, I know that a couple people were asking about your recipes, and just wanted to let everybody know that those amazing recipes that Patty so generously prepared for you, like the chest rub and the bath salt, that's there's a link in this on your call page, and you should click the link and you can download it. But we'll also include that with the call recording, so if you are listening to this recording, well, not to worry, we're going to be able to add a link to the handout so you can have these amazing recipes and try them yourself. Cool. All right. Well, I think there are no more questions left from me or the audience. Just want to do another check. And yeah, I think that will be all for today. But Patty, I want to let everyone know that Patty actually, because we had a kind of a scheduling mix up, Patty didn't actually know she was going to present today. And
yeah, I know.
And I just wanted to thank you for, you know, you have such extraordinary grace to come on, you know, with very little notice and to share and disseminate this knowledge to us. So I thank you so much. Like, I'm really, really grateful.
You're welcome.
And,
you know,
the herbs must be working, because you were, like, so cool and calm.
Thank you. I was like, oh, no.
Well, I know. I mean, you were able to come on board in a few minutes, and you just taught this amazing presentation. So thank you so much from all of us. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. My pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
Great. And if anybody would like to connect with Patty more, again, she's one of our functional nutrition coaches. So if you ever decide to, if you are in one of our coaching programs, then you will be able to work with her in that capacity. She also has a website called wisdomnutrition.com. That's available in the slides. So thank you so much again, Patty. And I'm just going to let everyone say goodbye if they'd like to. So everybody on three, I'm going to turn off my host mode. I'm going to turn it on to party mode. So you can all say goodbye if you like. And then we'll end the call. All right, everyone. One, two, three.
Thank you.
Say goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you all.
Take care.